You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.
Okay, welcome everybody to Radio Mayapur. This is Gangadas, your host. And today we are very fortunate. We are in New Zealand, in Wellington. It's a beautiful weather for the last few days, nice sunshine. Here it's becoming winter.
Yes.
Yeah, because we are in the end of the world. We are close to the South Pole.
Agreed.
So in all the other part of the world, it's becoming summertime. Yesterday I spoke to my wife, it was 41 degrees in Mayapur. It was really hot. But here it's like 18:20 in the morning.
Yes.
And becomes 8 in the night.
Yes.
So it's quite cool. But beautiful sunshine, clear sky. The oceans is beautiful. The roads are nice. The people are wonderful. And today we are very fortunate to meet the temple president of Wellington, of Iskcon Center, which has also two restaurants. It has a Govinda.
Yes, probably.
And they do Food for Life, and they do a lot of wonderful service. And they have beautiful deity of Sri Sri Gaur Nittai.
Jai.
So we are with Jagajivan Das Prabhu, who is born in Hobbas. Lambasa in Fiji. And he's born in 1956, which is the same year I was born, in June. And he met the devotee in 1986, and he moved into New Zealand in 1984, I believe.
That's true. Yes. That's true, Prabhuji, yes.
So, welcome to Radio Mayapur. Jagajivan, it's a great pleasure to have you with us today. And I'm so happy. I've seen you a few times in Mayapur. I know you're coming for this...
Leadership Sangha.
Yeah, Leadership Sangha. And I noticed your specs, which have very peculiar type of specs, which look like a motorcycle racing specs. I was a motorcycle racer. I say, when I saw you, I thought, oh, this devotee must be having a motorcycle. So welcome, Jagajivan Prabhu, to Radio Mayapur, today the podcast. And tell us a little bit about what was your life before you became a devotee, or before your life changed into spirituality. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Thank you so much, Ganga Prabhu. I mean, it's a pleasure actually to have you, and especially Banu Maharaj. Banu Maharaj, as you know, he's such a wonderful sannyasi.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that we had an opportunity for association with both of you. So thank you for coming.
The pleasure is ours, and I'm actually just accompany Maharaj, and I'm so fortunate. I feel blessed and grateful to him. This is taking me around the world to meet all these wonderful devotees like you.
So please accept my humble obeisance. All glories to Prabhupada.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. yes, Prabhu. So I consider myself quite fortunate that I was born in a family of a, I will call a Vaishnava or / Shivite.
Okay. Yeah. They are treated like this.
Dad was a very poor, but a wonderful soul. And we lived in a village called Ranimbulu in Lambasa, Fiji. So we grew like any other ordinary family in a village. Fiji had Indian and the native Fijian population.
I think 50%, something
almost
like 50, that.
Almost 50, yes. 50. And our house was just next to the Fijian village. So the native Fijians, they all stay in a family in one area. And the first house after the village was
our house.
Okay. So Dad had a very, very wonderful relationship with the native Fijians. It was more like brotherly relationship.
Beautiful.
So our childhood was amazing. Poor, quality life. So coming back to Dad, my father, I don't know where he inherited that from, because I never met my granddad. So he died. Granddad, of course, came from India.
India, yes.
From Basti, Ayodhya. And, So, but Dad was born in, father was my born in Fiji. So coming back to my dad, he from very early in his life, had interest in religion. At home, he was just like any other ordinary grihastha, very busy with his waking life, and he used to work long hours.
What he used to do?
He was working for the roadworks.
Oh.
As a laborer in the roadworks. So that meant that he would leave home 3 o'clock in the morning, and by the time he will come back, it will be 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. At night.
Wow.
So the only time we used to meet Dad was in the weekends. Anyway, Dad was a storyteller and used to tell lots of beautiful stories and things like that.
What language you communicate with them?
Hindi.
In Hindi, okay, yeah. Because
but it was a Fijian and Indian mix, so very funny. it's Hindi, but it was mixed with English and Fijian. So coming back to your question, Prabhu, about my background. As a child, I was just grew up as an ordinary child, but I was one of the lucky ones because I was born after 6 daughters.
Wow.
So
your father and mother were waiting for you.
They say that it was after many, many prayers and boons and things like that, finally, then when I was born. So I grew, you can say, Prabhuji, I grew like a king. I was, the way mom and dad looked after me. Unfortunately, mom died when I was only 5 years old.
Oh.
So it was pretty much dead. And because I had 6 sisters, I was spoiled rotten in the childhood. Education-wise, the school was almost an hour's walk from home.
Every day, you had to go one hour going, 1 hour coming back.
Yes. So schooling wasn't fun for me. And I was really not into schooling, Prabhuji, for 2 reasons. One, of course, the distance. But for some reason, I was not really an academic person. Coming back to your question about religiosity, how I got interested in things like that, I always have asked this question. What have I done to be given an opportunity to save Lord Krishna? And every time I've asked me that question, the only thing that I've come back to, which is quite interesting actually, despite all the difficulties and my dad being a poor person, he was the first person in that whole village. I would say not just that village, Prabhu, maybe so many villages around in that area. I don't know where he got the interest, but he organized a Bhagavat Sapta.
Wow.
There was a person not in our village, he was somewhere else. He went to India to study religion. And when he came back, somehow or the other, Dad got in contact with him. And Dad invited him to come to our village for this 1 week's Bhagavat Sapta.
Beautiful.
Now I remember that very, very clearly. I was young, but not the entire village. So many people who was around the village, they would come each night for the Bhagavat Sapta. And you know, Prabhu, in Bhagavat Sapta, not only people come to hear, but of course there was always prasadam and things like that.
Of course.
So every time when I raise this question, what good I have done, my answer has been nothing at all. I just put it down to that Bhagavat Sapta that my dad had organized, and you know, the Sukriti that he got from that was then, dad didn't enjoy that, but maybe the Lord wanted his son
to become a devotee. Beautiful.
So that's the background.
That's nice. That's pious background, I would say, because your father was from Mayodhya, which is Lord Ram's birthday, now his birthplace. And now, of course, they established a big temple there.
Swapal, yes.
So beautiful. So in that area, of course, people are very, very devoted people.
Of course,
Prabhu, very pious people, I would say.
Yeah. For that reason, Prabhu, I consider myself very, very lucky because, you know, if you have grown in the village, Prabhu, and like I said, I was not really an academic person. It's a long story. I won't go into that. But how I have reached where I am today, I would put it as a miracle.
Of course.
And purely the mercy of the Lord, because I consider myself pretty much worthless. So very, very lucky to be being able to given the opportunity. So if you want me to follow on from here, I will go back to the story I was telling you.
Please tell.
So 1988, I came to Wellington, and I was introduced to ISKCON in 1986 when Ramai Swami Maharaj with his band was going around New Zealand from town to town, preaching Krishna consciousness. So that was the first time I came across Hare Krishna devotees.
Okay.
I had never heard about ISKCON before. Right. So that was my first encounter.
In Fiji, there was no ISKCON at that time.
Prabhupada was there in 1986, but of course I was...
76.
76, yeah. But I was... So my first encounter with the devotees was at that time in 1986 with Ramai Swami Maharaj, yes. And then 1988, when I came to Wellington to start working for the government here, there was, in Wellington, there was never a proper ISKCON center.
Right.
So what they were doing was they will find a house, a big enough house, and they, as long as they had a nice big lounge, so then they will set up the deities there, and they will hold the programs there every Sunday.
Nice.
And then when the neighbors will start to complain, and there was too much noise and things like that.
Yes. Come in.
When there was too much complaint, they will just move somewhere else. So like that. Over the years, they had moved to, I would say, about a dozen places like that. But when in 1988, there's a place in Wellington called Waitstown.
Hmm.
Ramachandra and Sitarani were one couple,
mm-hmm.
Ramachandra and Sitarani, wonderful devotees, disciples of Prabhu Vishnu Swami.
Oh, yes.
So when we started, so Sunday feast became like a regular thing for us. Every Sunday we'll be there. From 1988 to 1996, we were going regularly every Sunday. And many, many times, Ramachandra Prabhu will say to us, you know, you are coming to Sunday feast, every Sunday feast. You seem like a nice person. You are giving donations, you are helping. Why don't you take initiation?
Mm-hmm.
And and my answer used to be that I'm not ready.
Mm.
That same year in 1996, one day he announced at the Sunday feast that there is a very jovial sannyasi. He is coming to Wellington. And so that announcement was on a Sunday. And Maharaj was coming on Monday.
Mm.
Luckily, that Monday was a public holiday.
Next day.
Mm. So he invited whoever wants to meet Maharaj. Please take this opportunity because you will love this Maharaj. You will fall in love with him.
And what is the name of this Maharaj?
So we ended there on Sunday. And of course, that entire 2 hours was full of laughter and, you know, and it was love at first sight. I just fell in love with him. This was Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj.
Oh, nice. 1 minute. There are 2 Mahavishnu. One is from London and one is from India, right?
So the one, Maharaj was in London, but he's from Gujarat. So he's the one who has got Temple and the Rajkot Temple.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, of course, like I said, Prabhuji, it was love at first sight. And but next day, Maharaj was gone. Then one year later, I approached Ramachandra and I said, Ramachandra, you have been asking me to take initiation. And I'm now thinking seriously. Can you please inquire whether I can take initiation from Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj? I didn't even knew the name that time.
Right.
But I said that Maharaj that
Maharaj
came.
Okay.
So Ramachandra made some inquiries and he came back to me and said, sorry, Prabhu, Maharaj at the moment is not authorized to give initiation. So my initiation idea
flopped.
1996, towards the end of 1996, Ramaswami Maharaj made an announcement that we are closing down Wellington Center. And the reason was that we have got only one couple, Sitarani and Ramachandra, and they want to have a baby. So there is no, we can't find any replacement. And the only option is that close the place down.
The place.
They made an announcement that that this is the last day when, it was October 1996, that the temple will be closed. The deities, there was a Gauranitai deities at that stage that there was worshipped by the couple. The deities will be sent back to Gaura Yoga. And Gaura Yoga is Devamrita's team in Auckland.
Okay.
In Wellington, they're known as Bhakti Lounge. In Auckland, it's Gaura Yoga. So we were shattered. We were shattered. And 8 years, 1988 to 1996, every Sunday, Hare Krishna temple was our place. not knowing what to do, I approached Ramachandra and I said, Ramachandra Prabhu, is there any way we could continue?
Run the temple. Yeah.
And the answer was straight no, because no one was initiated.
Mm-hmm.
So then I approached Ramaswami Maharaj, Devamrita Swami, and Prabhupada Vishnu Swami, and I said, please give us an opportunity to continue. So after some discussion, they came back and said, okay, we are sending away the deities because no one is initiated here, so no one can worship. So we are sending away the deities to Auckland. But in the altar, you must have seen today, Prabhu, that is small Prabhupada.
And big one.
And the big one. At that time, even the big one was not here. So the big one was somewhere else. So that small Prabhupada deity and the Guru Parampara. So Ramachandra handed us Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara and gave us instruction
how to
worship and things like that. October 1996, we took charge. There were only three people actually, my wife, myself, so just there was one family. There was a Gujarati family, an elderly person, but very nice Kirtaniya, Mohan Morar. And there was a couple from England, Anne and Glenn, also not initiated, but they had a Gauranitai deity in there, and they were worshipping a Gauranitai deity. So three families got together, and we decided that Anne and Glenn will bring their deity. Mohan Murar, who is the Kirtaniya, will bring the harmonium and he will be leading the Kirtan. My wife and I will prepare the prasadam. And we found a taekwondo place in city that was not getting used on Sunday. So they gave us on a very reasonable rate. So Prabhu, that's where the Wellington, you can say, the next phase of ISKCON started.
The magic starts.
The magic starts.
Just by the desire of the devotee, everything, and desire of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Manovistam, the desire of the Lord to spread the holy name. It's amazing, isn't
it? It's amazing, Prabhu. So, 1996, October 1996, we started there. And just a year after, so 1997, Anne and Glenn decided to leave. They were moving somewhere else. So the Gauranitai deities were gone.
They took them?
They took them.
Okay.
Now we are continuing the program, but without any deities. So Mohan Murar had a contact in Mayapur. I don't know how, but he contacted his contact in Mayapur, and they sent him the Karan Gaurnitai,
which is
the big one and the small one, two sets. And you saw our Gaurnitai Prabhu. They are beautiful.
So beautiful. And they are from Mayapur.
They are from Mayapur,
the birthplace
of
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. So when the deities came, of course, we did the proper pran pratishtha, the puja.
Installation.
And all those sort of. But this was all in our home. Still in
We didn't have a temple.
Yeah. No, I'm putting you wrong there, bro. Sorry, I will take you back. No, that time we had no deities. No, we didn't have any deities.
Not yet.
No, not yet. So that was 1997. Glenn and Anne were gone. But we continued the program just with the pictures and the Guru Parampara
and
Srila Prabhupada. So that was all we had. No deities anymore. But from then on, when Anne and Glenn were gone, we were missing Gaurnitai. We were missing Gaurnitai. So we started talking. And now it was difficult for us to hold the programs in the town because it was too much effort. So my wife and I decided that that's it. We will now hold the program from our home. So for another year, until October 1998, we continued holding the program from our home, but we were eagerly now looking for a place to buy.
Establish a temple.
To establish a temple.
Yeah.
So where we are sitting now, Prabhu, was, there was no temple there. At that time, nothing there.
It was just a house.
It was just a four car garage. It was like a workshop.
Okay.
It was like a workshop. So I had my eye on this place only for one reason, Prabhu. The next door where we have the restaurant now was a dairy shop, which is like small shop, grocery shop, and there was a fish and chip shop.
Hmm.
And every time I will go past there, drive past here, when I see this house, like I told you, my background was an economist.
Yes.
So I always think about this sort of thing.
Of course.
So the thought that was going through my mind was, that we couldn't afford to buy a commercial building because commercial buildings in New Zealand are very expensive. But when I looked at that the other property, so in my mind, I thought this could become a commercial property at one day. So one day I just went to the next door dairy shop and there was a Gujarati guy. And I said to him, do you own this house? And he said, why? And when I explained to him that I'm from Hare Krishna, and we are looking for a place for the temple. He said to me, they are Gujarati family as well, very nice family. And why don't you go and ask them? Now, how do you walk to somebody's house
and sell the house?
Yeah, but Krishna has his own way.
Absolutely.
I gathered some courage, came and knocked on the door. The sun came out. So I said, your mom and dad is home. And she said, oh, mom is home. So can I talk to you, mom? The lady came out and I folded my hands, bowed down. And I said, I'm really sorry, but I've come here for a purpose. And we are looking to buy a place for Hare Krishna temple. But she took 3 or 4 steps back and she kept staring at me. Then I again bowed down and I said, I'm really sorry. She said, no. She said, we are just doing this place up to put it on the market. And we are vegetarians. We have never cooked any meat in this house. And so this must be Krishna's plan.
Gujarati people, also pious people.
Yeah. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
The connection.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So I said, okay, please let your husband know. I exchanged my telephone number. So that we can come and have a serious talk. So a week later, they rang. We came with Mohan Murar. And Ramachandra and Sitarani were visiting us that weekend.
Oh.
So we brought them as well.
Nice.
So we all came, had a look.
They are also Gujarati. They were Gujarati?
No, no. Ramachandra and Sitarani, yes, were the devotees, remember? I said But they were Kiwis.
Kiwis.
Kiwis, yeah. So they were here that weekend. And so we came and had a look. And you know that lounge there, Prabhu, right?
Yes.
That's next door, right?
Yes.
That's where that lounge was, an open space, big enough. And where next to this one here, that's where the kitchen was. So when we walked in and when you had a look, and I looked at the kitchen there and then the lounge was there, immediately we all agreed,
this is the place.
Now, the big question was, Prabhu, that money, yeah. So we sat down to discuss, and I just said to the landlord, look, we have come to buy a place, but we have no money. I understand you are looking for a place to buy, so I beg you to please continue, but don't rush into it. We need some time to
find the money.
From there on, for 6 months, there was a Chinese guy whose house they were going to buy. But the Chinese guy was playing games with them. So that dragged on for 6 months. This is all Krishna's plan, you can see.
Yeah.
After 6 months, we got a phone call from them saying, we are ready to discuss seriously. Up till now, we have not even discussed the price.
So you didn't know how much they want?
We didn't know. So then I came down and I said to him, he said, look, I was planning to put this place on the market for 215,000 New Zealand dollars. That's what I'm expecting. So I said to him that, you know, this is for Krishna. And please think about it and see what you can do. So he gave some thought and then said, okay, I will take 195. So basically he left 20,000. Now, the next question was,
where to find the money.
And I did not wanted to buy this as a private property. I wanted to buy as a ISKCON center.
Of course.
So when I approached the bank said, if you are going to buy it for a religious and charitable organization, you have to come with 25% deposit. Ramachandra left us $17,000 in the ISKCON account. And in that 6 months, we took it up to 32,000.
Collection.
So now we had 32,000. So 25% of 196 is about 48 something.
Yes.
Where to get the balance of the money from?
Yeah.
So after a lot of to and fro, Mohan Murar, the Gujarati family, he said, look, I will take a personal loan and I will gift it to ISKCON, but on the understanding that when ISKCON will be in a position,
they can give me back.
So Prabhu, that's how
we purchased
this place. And obviously, the first center of ISKCON Wellington
was established.
October 1998.
Amazing story,
bro. And the same year, 1998, soon after buying this place, you know Surdas Prabhu from
Bombay? Yeah, of course.
Surdas Prabhu was visiting New Zealand or touring New Zealand with Hema Malini.
Yeah. Because he's in charge of the auditorium there in Bombay.
Yeah.
He organized all the cultural program.
Right. So they did this Mira program.
Wow.
So Hema Malini and they were coming.
Nice.
So they went to Australia. From Australia, they were coming here. So I went and picked them up from the airport. Of course, Hema Malini, I thought that Hema Malini might like to stay with us. But of course, I mean, this was just a house.
Yes.
So Hema Malini basically is a hotel. And Surdas Prabhu and his wife stayed here, and wonderful program.
Nice.
But the next morning, I mean, that was the next morning after the Mangal Arati, Surdas Prabhu said, so who is your spiritual master? And I said, Prabhu, I'm not initiated. So he said, what? If you are not initiated, how are you managing a center? And I said, Prabhu, I don't know. This is purely Krishna's arrangement. I don't know why I've been picked for this job, but that's what he wanted me to do, and that's what I'm doing. So before leaving, he said, okay, don't worry. I will go back. I will talk to Gopal Krishna Maharaj. In these circumstances, I'm sure Maharaj will be happy to initiate you. And he left. 1999, March 1999, I was invited. I was told to come down to Mayapur, and Maharaj was going to initiate us at Gaur Purnima. So that was all set.
But you said Gopal Krishna Maharaj?
Gopal Krishna Maharaj.
Okay. Then?
And so all the arrangements were done, and I was supposed to go there. But the same year, now that we had this center, we invited Mahavishnu Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, to come and do a Bhagavad Saptah again.
Oh, nice.
On a much larger scale. And Devaki Nandana Prabhu and all Maharajas, they all came. Some from UK, some from Singapore, some from Australia. So there was a big crowd. And nice. we had such a wonderful program for the whole Bhagavad Saptah. So in that process, Prabhu, one night, and while this was going on, one night I approached Maharaj once again. And now there was a relationship established. And I expressed my desire that, Maharaj, I would like to take shelter. And Maharaj again flatly refused. My Karmi name is Jagdish. So he said, Jagdish, even if I want to, I can't. So I said, Maharaj, why? So he said, because you are already managing a temple and I'm not authorized to initiate. So if I do, nothing bothers me but he said, you will be in trouble. So what do you say? Nothing. So, but a day before the day he was going back, I again said to him, I don't care what happens to me. I'm leaving that to Lord Krishna, but I'm not going to take any initiation from anyone else. So 1999, Maharaj sent a message. Oh, in the meantime, when I was talking to Maharaj, I expressed my desire to Suridas Prabhu, and I said, Prabhu, I don't think it will be fair. My heart and soul is with the Maharaj. So please, forgive. Ask my forgiveness from Maharaj and ask him to please allow me to take initiation from. So Suridas probably warned me as well, the same thing that you're making a mistake. But I said, I'm leaving it to Krishna now. So 1999, Prabhu, December 99, Devaki Nandana Prabhu rang me from Singapore. And said, Maharaj is coming for a program in Singapore, and he wants you to come down to Singapore. So we ended up in Singapore on Friday night. Saturday morning was initiation, and we didn't know anything about it. So next thing, when the yajna and everything was organized,
they say you sit down and take initiation.
Maharaj said, sit down and take initiation. And not only that, Prabhu, it is a very rare thing. I hope, Maharaj is not there today, and I'm sure nothing will, no problems there. Then after initiating, giving us the first initiation, he went in his room and then called me and gave me second initiation on the same day.
Nice.
And he explained that, this was needed. You are worshipping the deities. You have taken sort of so much responsibility. So that's where I got that name, Jagjivan Das.
Nice. Nice story, Prabhuji. So beautiful.
So then from there on, Prabhu, ISKCON officially then became recognized. But I'm so thankful to Prabhu Vishnu Swami and Ramai Swami. Two of them. Initially, it was Prabhu Vishnu Swami who was on the spot all the time. We became very fond of him. And then in later years, after Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj was removed, Ramai Swami Maharaj took full charge. And I am totally indebted to both of the Prabhu Vishnu Swami. Devamrita Swami is the third one. Devamrita Swami, of course, you know, he has got his own center here as well. And
Yoga center. Yoga center, yes.
So Maharaj was always busy because his focus was pretty much just young Kiwis. And his focus was just very... His preaching style, as you know, is quite different. Very different from ISKCON. Very different. But I can understand, fully understand and appreciate because he needed that approach.
Of course.
So, whatever we are today, Prabhu, this center today is largely because of the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, and of course, Prabhu Vishnu Swami and Ramai Swami Maharaj. And with their support, we started, as you can see, Prabhu, we started from nothing, from very little, almost nothing. And today this asset, there is a $2.5 million asset built over these years. So now we own both of the buildings, both of the properties, 103 and 105 Newlands Road, Newlands.
You run your restaurant every day or only on Saturday and Sunday?
No, Prabhuji, it's a, again.
I don't know, I'm asking.
Again, Prabhu. ISKCON Wellington has the largest restaurant in the world when it comes to ISKCON. We had a floor space of 400 square meters, right in the speck in the middle of the city.
But you're talking about the restaurant in the city.
I'm
talking about this one.
Oh, okay. There was no restaurant there. It's only about a year old now.
Oh, I see.
It's only a year old. When the first restaurant, again, Prabhu, I can. It will take me hours. The restaurant in itself.
It's a big operation.
Not only operation, Prabhu. How it happened, and how from nothing, we ended up having a restaurant in town that I can boast by saying this, that I don't think any ISKCON center in the world would have. Just imagine, Prabhu, 400 square meters.
It's huge.
In the center of the city.
So tell us in short how you got this restaurant, because that's another magic. When Krishna wants to do magic, he can do magic. Tell us in short version.
It's pure magic, Prabhu. It's pure magic. There was a devotee by the name of, he was not initiated, but he was serving in Auckland, ISKCON Auckland. Young boy at that time, 17, 18 years. And he got training, in Auckland. Then later years, he moved from there and he came and he opened a restaurant in Pitoni, which is about 20 minutes drive from here towards Lohat. And he was doing fine. It was a low-key restaurant, operated mostly on overseas tourists. So people will come and visit. Yeah. And so he was providing them accommodation and food, and in turn they were giving. So this is how he was running it for some time. One morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, with a very faint voice, he said to me, "Jagjivan, I need your help. Please take me to the hospital." So I rushed, picked him home from the same restaurant. There was accommodation on the top. Took him to the hospital. And I was there until, I think, 6 in the morning. Brought him back and just told him, "Rakesh, I need to go and have some rest. I've got commitment." He knew that I had commitment. "Give me a call if you need my help." A week later, he rang and said, he came to me, handed over the key of the restaurant, and he said, "That's it. I can't manage this anymore." So I said, "Rakesh, what am I going to do with the key? I don't have, I've got a full-time job. My wife has got a full-time job. We are managing this temple with so much difficulty. How am I going to manage a restaurant?" He said, "That's your decision." I said, "What about..."
Was he sick?
I think he got bent out, Prabhu. Running on his own. So he said, "That's your problem."
Overworked.
Overworked. So, what about Rakesh? I don't need the money as well. He said, I'm not asking you for the money. He said, you can pay me when you later on. So, Prabhu, that's how. And up till then, up till that time, after we had bought this property, there was a big question: how do you manage to pay the mortgage?
Back, yeah.
How do they pay the mortgage? And after so many debates, the only solution was that I rent out my house, moved in here. There was one room, big room downstairs.
Yeah.
Upstairs was temple. So we moved in here with my children, my two children. And because my house was now rented out,
you could pay them.
I could then use our salaries to pay the mortgage here. So we did that from 1988 to 2001. 2001, when Rakesh said that you have to manage the restaurant now, that was the first time I brought two couples from Fiji. One is devotee couples, and the other one, someone with some restaurant background. So Nimananda and his wife, Suchitra, they are the ones. There is a big company here, Prabhu, by the name of Gopala, yeah, that makes Gopala's paneer, yogurt, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is Nimananda. So that was the person that I brought from Fiji. And then there was another couple that came as pujaris. So when they arrived, they took accommodation here, and we, with my children and my wife, we moved back to our house. So
then you start to run the restaurant.
So then with the staff on hand, with somebody on hand, that was the first restaurant, Prabhu.
Wow.
But the problem with that was that it was in a rural area, a rural town, and as you know, vegetarian was not a popular choice for people in New Zealand at that stage. Very few knew what vegetarian was. So we were struggling. We were struggling there. But I was determined now. I was determined now that we need to... another very important point. One time, Maharaj came visiting, and yes, because Maharaj was in England before, so I asked Maharaj that, you know, from your English experience in the European countries, Maharaj, tell me, how do you survive in New Zealand? Because the devotees were not there, Prabhu.
Yeah,
no devotees, no source of income or things like that. And Maharaj, without thinking, just said, open a restaurant. So I said, Maharaj,
we have a restaurant.
There was no restaurant, Prabhu. So I said to Maharaj, I am struggling to even manage a temple. How am I going to open a restaurant? He said, Jagjivan, have faith in Krishna and things will happen. But he told me, he said, look, if you open the restaurant, there are three advantages you will have. He said, one, the restaurant will become the doorway for new devotees. The second, the revenue that will be generated can be used to save the Lord. And the third, he said, was, I will send you devotees from India that will do double role. Work in the restaurant, but at the same time,
helping
in the temple as well.
Nice. Good idea.
Excellent idea, Prabhu. Excellent idea. But without any resources, Prabhu, what do you do? So then when this opportunity came, like I was saying, nothing happens without the sanction of the Lord.
Yeah.
So this was, again, it was purely Krishna's plan. So then, of course, we had to bring people. And then when we opened this place, Nimananda and his wife were working very hard. And they did, you know, they did a lot of sacrifice. A lot of credit goes to them as well. But the business was not generating
much income,
the revenue that we needed. So then I started looking at other options as well. And then I saw that there was an Indian restaurant in the city called Bengal Tiger.
Bengal Tiger.
Yeah. It was advertised for sale. So I went to see this guy, and of course he was another Gujarati person. So when I met this guy, I introduced myself from Hare Krishna, and I told him that, you know, we do want a restaurant to help the restaurant, to help the temple grow. And I told him that, you know, I don't have the money. So he said, look, I will try and help you.
Gujarati people are always nice.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So he said, you just give me 5,000. He advertised for 13,000. He said, I will give you for 5,000.
Per month?
No, this is...
Sell.
Yeah, sell.
That's not much.
That's not much, bro. And he said, you don't have to give me money up straight. He said, you can. So then I contacted Maharaj again. And I said, Maharaj, you wanted the restaurant. Now Krishna has provided one, but I need staff.
Yeah, now people.
So then Maharaj sent his disciples from there. And I spoke with Nimananda Prabhu and I said, Prabhu, do you want to manage this restaurant? If you agreed, you can take total management here and I will go and manage the city one. So Prabhu, that was our start. That was our start there. But the big story was that in a year's time, when we are starting to get better there in this new location, and people started to get to know us, and the restaurant was becoming popular, the landlord became greedy and increased the rent. So then we were looking for some other place. Then I found one closed restaurant, which was closed for 6 months. Found its owner, spoke to the owner, and said, I want to move in here. He was quite happy because the place was closed for 6 months. So he gave us nice term and condition. We moved in there, but in the clause he had put that you will have to vacate the place with 6 months notice because I have got plans to renovate this place. But it's not going to happen tomorrow. Beggars can't be choosers.
Right, just do it.
Just do it. Let's see. Yeah. So I just left it on Krishna I said, okay. So we sold that place. Where we were, we sold it. Prabhu, like I was saying, these things will take a very long time. I'm trying to cut everything short.
Of course.
We sold the place, moved in this place, and started operating from this new place. Good location, not the best, but good location. Within 3 months, the guy who bought our restaurant overnight closed and ran away. The lease was still in ISKCON's name because the landlords were not prepared to sign it to some new person.
Right.
When the person ran away, they sent us a bill of $32,000, unpaid rent, electricity, gas, and things
gas,
like that.
Gas, water.
Can you imagine, Prabhu, facing a bill of $32,000? What do you do?
You don't have money.
I don't have money. I called a meeting with the community here. Not a single person came forward. They came up with all bright ideas, and one of them was this: sell this place. Sell this place, and when you have the money later on, then you can think about. I just couldn't believe my ears. How can you sell a temple?
You can't.
You can't. Left with no choice, Prabhu. My wife and I mortgaged our house, increased the mortgage to get the $32,000, paid off the debt, and continued the entire $32,000. Now, this other place where we have now was starting to pick up. September 2006, the landlord gave us order to
vacate 6 months.
Yeah.
Another struggle.
Now, this is where you'll the real core thing comes now. So I put a small ad in the newspaper looking for a restaurant space. That's all I said, looking for a restaurant space. A very small, I couldn't afford big money.
Yeah, big money.
The restaurant that I was talking to you about, the 400 square meter, it was a cafe bar. I found out later on they spent $750,000 to set up That's when the bar culture was starting.
It was big at that
time. Was big in that time. So they spent $750,000 to set up that place, 400 square meters pro.
It's huge.
On one side of the restaurant, was the kitchen, and then the remaining of the area was all pool tables and games and things like that. The other half had a huge bar with wines and liquor,
whiskey and
things,
and all these
things. Those sort of things. So his owner rang me and said, I understand you're looking for a restaurant space. And I said, yes, I am. So he said, I've got a place on the market. So I said, tell me, where are you? And I couldn't believe when he's mentioned, I said to the guy, you know, I had my eye on your place for years because it's such a
location,
wonderful location. And I've always wondered and always prayed, hopefully one day we can find a location like this. So he said, yeah, but so my next question was, Prabhu, say, what is the rent in the place? And he said, 99,000 New Zealand dollars. I almost got a heart attack. So I said,
okay, goodbye.
So I said to the guy, look, I don't want to waste your time. We are small time people.
Yeah.
Maybe I can afford 30,000, 35,000. Max pay ya. So I'd rather not waste your time.
Yeah.
Put my phone down. This was September 2006. End of September, we closed down, dismantled everything. And remember, I said where the temple is now used to be a shed there. So it was it's a big shed actually there. So we moved everything into there and bye-bye. We stopped going to the to the town. We were getting so much hassle. When are you guys going to open? Come December, Prabhu, I rang this person one day. And I said, I would like to come and meet you. So he said, yeah, come down to the restaurant. So I went to the restaurant. And as soon as I entered from the side where the kitchen was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not from the bar side, of course, right, for the reasons you know. So, but as soon as I entered there, something from inside was saying, Jagjeevan, this place will work for us. It's like Krishna was speaking to me.
Absolutely.
So he showed me the whole thing. And after having a look at the whole place, I said to his name was Evin. I said, Evin, I think we can strike a deal here. So he said, what do you mean by strike a deal here? I said, look, I know you have been struggling for a long time. And I know that your cafe and bar hasn't been doing well. So I asked him a question. I said, you know, what do you sell? What do we do? How much use do you have in the kitchen? He said, hardly at all. Fish and chips or chips or something like that, or bread cracker or crackers or something like that. Then I got confidence and I said, I think we can strike a deal. He said, what do you mean? I said, how about you continue with your beer on the other side and you give me this kitchen half? I said, Hare Krishna is a popular name now in Wellington. So I will operate my restaurant on this side and you can operate your
bar on the other side.
Now it's an unheard thing, Prabhu. You know very well. In ISKCON it doesn't work. But I was so desperate. So, and I didn't know what would happen. Can you do something like that? So he said, let me think about it. Then December was gone, come January again. And in January, I rang him again and said, Evan, can I come and see you again? Yeah, come down. This guy I didn't know was the CEO of Wellington Cricket.
Oh.
So there's a Basin Reserve place, which is the cricket ground. When I went in his office, he had a huge office, a big chair, and he was sitting on the chair like, you know, a real hot shot, right? Oh, I said, you're a big man. He was a nice guy. He laughed at me. So what do you have to? So I said, look, let's talk as an economist, I was using my. So I said, look, if I take half of the restaurant, I will take half of your cost, rent, electricity, and all those sort of things. Hare Krishna is a popular place. 80% of our clients are Europeans. So they, when they come to eat with us, they will go and drink with you. So I said, I'm going to give you business as well. And he was smiling. He was smiling when I was saying this thing. And so I tried to convince him and he agreed. He, at the end, he said, okay, let me discuss with my wife and I will come back to you. So 2 days later, he discussed with my wife and he said, we are prepared to look at a proposal. So now the question was proposed to put a proposal, right? I came home, sat down. What to say? What to write? So from inside, as if Krishna was speaking, and he said, hold on the truth, right? So I wrote him an email, Prabhu. I said, I've got $20,000 in the bank from the previous restaurant, and that's all the money I have. So you take the $20,000, and I'm prepared to give you another $10,000, but you give me 1 year to end and pay. Prabhu, it didn't take him 1 second. He replied in the email and he said, I hate Indians, we're crazy, but you are a gone case. That was his reply. He said, I hate Indians, we're crazy, but you are a gone case. He said, I've got 2 combo ovens in my restaurant. They are 19,000 each. You can't buy one of my combo oven, and you want the entire restaurant. What do you say? I didn't reply at all.
What you can say?
Then a week later, I rang him again, and his reply was, yes, crazy Indian. What do you want now? I said, give me another chance. Let me come and talk to you. So I went to him and I again spoke to him and again talked the same sort of things, but in different way. No problem. And then finally he said, but you are giving me peanuts. I said, Evan, what more do you expect from me? This is Krishna's business. This is not my business. And we are all doing it for charity anyway. He was a religious guy. He said, okay, think about it. Give me a slightly better deal. So Prabhu, I came home, the same email, nothing changed. The only change was that instead of 10,000, I will pay you 30,000 over 3 years.
Which is the same thing.
So I sent it back.
Yeah.
And they say, Prabhu, you know, when Krishna wants something,
He will make it happen.
A day later, he rang me. I was at work and he rang me and said, I'm prepared to take your deal. I could have yelled, Prabhu, you know, I could have jumped, but it was the office, so, you know, there was, of course, I had to hold myself back. I couldn't believe what my ears were hearing. And the most amazing thing is, Prabhu, we then sat down, deal the deal and things like that. I was going to put one condition. And then he said, you are in no position to put any condition in this kind of deal. I said, I know, Evin, but you are a good man. I said, for the safety of the temple, I want just one condition. And that is that if in an year's time, your business doesn't pick up, then you will consider us as the first, because I don't want to be then dealing with somebody else who will buy the business, but then if we don't get together, we will be in deep trouble. So he said, no, that I won't let that happen. That is, so he put that condition. But behind my mind, you know, as a devotee, right?
Yes.
I knew this guy, there was no chance for him to survive. But Krishna won't allow the lika and the prasadam in one place. So I knew what I was, but poor guy didn't know what it was. Exactly a year later, he rang me and said, I'm throwing the towel. By that time, things were, you won't believe, Prabhu. You know, it was amazing. In the previous restaurant, if I'm talking about weekly sale, right? If the weekly sale reached 2,500 or 3,000, the boys will have party. Right? In this place, within 3 months, we are doing 15 grain a week. And that climbed to about 18 to 20 grain later on. In the first year, I made $120,000 net profit.
That's good.
So when we did that, when we made that 120,000 net profit, I contacted Ramaswamy Maharaj. Maharaj, I want to buy the next tower property. He said, Jagjivan, are you confident you have the? I said, Maharaj, the way things are going, I'm confident it will happen.
You can do it.
So then Prabhu, Maharaj said, okay, send me a proposal. I said, okay, fine. I sent a proposal. And at that time, in the Wellington Management Committee, Kala Sambara from Auckland and Radhika Atma were there as well.
Very positive people, very nice devotees.
You will find out soon.
I know.
So, and then Prabhu Vishnu Swami, Ramai Swami Maharaj, and Devamrita Swami. So they were all in the Management Committee. So I put a proposal. I went, that was a Chinese guy, right? So who was owning that property?
This near the temple.
The next to a property.
Yeah, next door to the temple.
So I went to this guy and I said, we are interested to buy a place. And he knew by that time who we were,
yeah,
things like that. The place that was worth maybe max 350,000, he demanded 550,000.
He blew up the price.
I didn't think twice about it, Prabhu. I said, okay, you prepare the papers and I will contact my management committee. I will come back. So I put a proposal, Maharaj, this place is not worth 350, maybe 350 max, but the guy wants 550. I think we should go ahead and buy it. And I said, the reason being, because there is a fish and chip shop there, and in the shop, there was, that time they were selling liquor as well. And I said, this is all not good for us. So when the proposal was put forward, the two people you said are very nice people were unbelievable. Both of them, Kalas and Radhik, objected. I can understand. They were saying that...
why you want to pay more if it's worth less?
It was not that payment. It was not the payment. Their thing was that, how can ISKCON buy a property which sells liquor and... fish and chips.
No problem, you can transform it.
So I went back to them, Prabhu, and I said, look, guys, don't look here, look ahead.
Yeah.
That for us, the prime thing is we don't want fish and chips and liquor next door. And New Zealand law, tenancy law, is that you can't kick anyone out
unless
they want to leave. So I said, the only option we have is to buy
it.
The point I'm trying, I hope this is going too long, but I'll just try and cut it short here. They made it so difficult for me, one after the other. So I said, I proposed to them. I said, okay, fine. If ISKCON is not going to buy, I am forming another trust, a separate trust.
And you can buy.
And I will buy it in the name of the trust. And the day I'm able to evict these people, the two of the tenants,
then we can transfer.
I will transfer the property in ISKCON's name. Both of them said no. How can a temple president invest money in a business which sells liquor? And so now things were just getting out of hand. So then I wrote a resignation letter, and I said to Maharajas, I said, Maharaj, please accept my resignation letter. Find somebody to come and replace me here. I'm going ahead and I'm buying this property. And now I'm buying as an individual, so that's my business. I'm still buying it for ISKCON, and I will give it back to ISKCON when ISKCON is ready to take. At that stage, both three of them, Ramai Swami Maharaj, Devamrita Swami Maharaj, and Prabhu Vishnu Swami, voted against. So now it was three against the two. And then Ramai Swami Maharaj said to me, just go ahead and buy it. So that's how we bought the other property. And from then on, there was never looking back.
Wonderful story, Jagajivan Prabhu. I would like to talk to you for hours, but our time is running short. So how many devotees you have now in this temple, in the Wellington temple?
Totally. Thanks you asked that, Prabhu. We were doing quite well. The temple was doing quite well. I knew that I can't be everywhere. So at that stage, I appointed Amrish Maharaj as the preaching coordinator. And Amrish Maharaj is an excellent preacher. Very, very, very nice devotee. And the temple started to grow. We ended up with something like 80 devotee families.
Nice.
And Amrish Maharaj had a lot of hand because he was, of course, the preaching coordinator. Nice. And I was doing everything else. Then, all of a sudden, he decided to walk away with 40 families. And it was a very sad episode because things have moved on. But what I was angry about was that the GVC did not really
do anything
about it. They allowed him to walk away with that 40, and those 40 people were made from this temple. So they were not as if they were their devotees or anything. They were temple devotees, but he walked away with 40 families. And the only problem was that there was some indifference, which could have been very easily resolved, but it didn't happen. So the devotee number was cut down to half.
But then more you make, more devotee, no? There's more devotee, no? More people came.
Oh, of course, Prabhu. That's why these sort of things. You know, they say whatever Krishna does, it does it for good.
It does it for some
so it,
reason.
It was. I've never repented about it. I just took it on the chin, thinking that okay, this was Krishna must have his own plans, and then they walked away. And then we are doing fine. The restaurant was doing fine. Guru Maharaj's instruction was that there should be a Hare Krishna restaurant in major towns and cities.
Of course.
So 2 years back, just before the COVID hit, I went to open two restaurants in Auckland.
Nice.
It was just setting foot there when the COVID hit.
When the COVID hit, everything closed.
Just before COVID hit, I then approached again Ramesh Swami Maharaj. And I said, Maharaj, it is not fair that I am now not in Wellington for a long period. And it is time for you to find a replacement so that I can concentrate on expanding the business, because we needed that money for the temple. And he knew that, and I was doing it all for the temple. Not under ISKCON's name. We found another trust, and I was doing it that way. That's when, Prabhu, another thing I did was, I approached Maharaj and I said that, let me go. I want to save my Guru Maharaj as well. So Maharaj said, Jagjivan, how is that possible? So I said, there is a way we can do it. He said, what do you mean? So I said, look, for whatever reason, we have now separated. There's two groups. Amrish has got his group in here. But that was a major blow to ISKCON Wellington. And I said, we should now bring the two groups together. And the only way to do that is if I resign, and if Amrish Maharaj becomes the temple president, he will bring his group back. So he said to me, but who is going to talk to Amrish? I said, I will do the talking. So I came back, Prabhu. I came one weekend, made an appointment with Amrish, went to Amrish, sat down with him, and I said, Prabhu, whatever our differences was, for the sake of ISKCON, we should leave it aside. I said, I want to resign, and I want you to take over the position. That will unite the group again. Mm-hmm. So he agreed. He agreed, and then, but I'm still, I'm back in Auckland. So then there was a meeting between him and the devotees in the temple. And it became a World War III or World War IV. There was such a big, because there was a lot of bitterness there, because, right, you know, when they walked away. So the people here were now blaming me. They're saying, here is somebody who broke the group, took away people, and you want to give the leadership to him. And I said, guys, don't look from personal. Look at how beneficial it is being for ISKCON Wellington.
Mm.
So I said, for that reason, you know, this is the best thing to happen. But Amrish was, he got quite hate from that, because, you know, it was a really not nice thing that happened that night, that day. So he resigned, and then a week later, Ramai Swami Maharaj said, Jagjivan, sorry, your plan didn't work.
Resignation is not accepted.
Yeah, and he said, you have to come back. I said, Maharaj, I've got a restaurant here. That's when COVID came. So then COVID forced me back into Wellington. Yeah. And from there, the struggles have been there, Prabhu. And then your last question, you know, in terms of devotee number. I don't know. Somewhere, I always blame myself, because you have been a temple president, and you know that the position of a temple president is always full
of...
Take responsibilities, but, you know, there are always this, you know, people always try find fault in you and things like that.
That's always there.
So then we had another. So there was another devotee from Bombay, Mahanashinga. He, when the meeting happened between Amrish and this other guy, the other people who were there, one of the guy from there who was at that meeting wanted to take the role of the temple president. So he was pissed off that why Jagjivan is bringing Amrish and not using me. So, but I didn't think that way like that, Maharaj Prabhuji, at that stage. So I thought, you know, things will over time. But he never forgave me. So 2 years later, he did exactly the same thing, that because I then appointed him as the preaching coordinator. And he did exactly what Amrish did.
Same thing.
Walked away with half the people. So now, our devotee number has shrunk to about 25% to where we were at one stage.
But still, it's a nice group. I saw.
But you saw very, very nice, very humble, very committed people.
They're distributing books. Mataji, they go for the book distribution.
Yeah. So one lesson that this recording today, which I think some temple presidents would find some good out of it, is that as long as, Prabhu, we are not attached to our position, and as long as we are always thinking
how to serve,
we are putting Krishna ahead of everybody else, then things will just move on.
Sure. Like you say, Krishna has a plan for everything.
Krishna has a plan for everything, Prabhu.
To make us detach from the position.
Yeah.
Same time to be humble and accept other devotees' idea. Yeah.
Nobody takes this as a negative. But that is one thing, Prabhu. Many times we get so attached to our positions that we forget why has Krishna chosen you for that particular job.
Sure.
People always ask me this question. How come you were... Even you won't believe, but one time when I was in Auckland, Kalas asked me, Jagjivan, were you really going to resign? When, you know, that happened. And my reply was, Kalas, why not?
We are serving the Lord.
When we are serving the Lord, our own interest shouldn't be there. We are doing it for Krishna.
Absolutely.
And when you are doing it for Krishna, where is the attachment then? Because it's Krishna who is directing everything. We are just that kite, and the string is in his hand.
Yeah, we're puppets.
Puppets, yeah. And that is one thing, Prabhu, that today in ISKCON, in many, many places, you know, our leaders have either got too attached to the position, or they have this, maybe some of the temples, not maybe, in many places, temples are paying their presidents, and they are paying people and things like that. I have, my Guru Maharaj, very clear instruction was, Jagjivan, your entire life you will not take any money from the
temple. Absolutely.
I never took, Prabhu, a dime from the temple.
We always had to serve. That's unconditional service.
Unconditional service, Prabhu. So this Wonderful. Recording that we are doing, you know, I'm so glad that you, and we have diverted into so many other things here.
Sure.
There about the restaurants, the benefits of having a restaurant, of course, things of like course, that, and all those of sort course. Of things. But I will conclude by just saying one thing, Prabhu, that as long as you have faith in Krishna and your Guru Maharaj, and as long as you don't have any personal interest, things will just go on. We, like I said, we grew from nothing to an asset today of 2.5 million. And I have not done, Prabhu, this is, I hope I'm not putting myself
no,
in my
of course. It is
but we
Krishna's.
Have never gone, and we have never gone to ask money from anyone. Unlike just recently when I was talking to Ramai Swami Maharaj, I was saying to Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, one thing you have to, you as a chairman or even GPs, you should change is that, you know, we have got such big temples. There is so much asset now tied to the temple, right? And Prabhupada always had that rule that, you know, temple property soon be sold, right? I said, why can't we have two sets? We have a commercial side and we have the religious side. You keep the religious side separate from the commercial, but you use the commercial side
for maintaining the temple.
Yeah.
Why not? It was a good idea.
And I said, if you start doing that, then
it's very clear demarcation.
Clear demarcation. Your
so
temple
no
is
one
never...
can get involved and
exactly.
think, I want money.
Exactly. Prabhu, had it not been for the restaurant with such a small devotee number, right?
You cannot survive.
How do you survive and how do you grow your asset from nothing to 2.5 million?
Absolutely.
It was purely because we have got two trusts here now.
Yes.
One is called Hare Krishna Food for Life Trust that looks after the business side. And then we have ISKCON Wellington, which looks after the religious side. So now with the interests so separated, there is no question of... And I can now, if ISKCON wants, we can go and expand our business side.
Of course.
Without any risk there. So thank you so much for giving me so much
thank
time.
Thank you. What is the last message you like to give for the audience of Radio Mayapur? Give some positive, like you were saying, believe in Krishna or whatever is your message to them, to all the people that are listening to us today.
Very simple, Prabhu. I think two things. Don't ever give credit to yourself. You are nothing. We are nothing, Prabhu.
We are nothing.
We are nothing. Whatever we are, just consider yourself to be lucky to be given that chance to save the Lord. How many people get that opportunity?
Few people in the world.
Very few. And I was saying to you, Prabhu, I was never qualified. I was not even initiated. I didn't knew anything about Krishna consciousness. Everything, Prabhu, from Mangal Aarti to whatever, to cooking, everything, I had to, and there was no one here to guide me.
To teach you. Yeah.
I was not. So, when you have total faith in Krishna, and when you purely save the Lord, with the Lord as the center of attraction, things will start to happen, Prabhu. Magics will happen. And in this temple, Prabhu, I've only mentioned you few. I haven't told you that we have had two floods in this temple.
Yeah.
Now, can you believe you are here? If somebody says that this building got flooded, you will say, are you joking? This is right on top of the hill, right? And there is flow everywhere. How can a temple get, or a commercial building or here get flooded? We had had two floods, Prabhu. And in the restaurant, we have had two floods as well.
Yeah, because when the water rises, it rises everywhere.
I've never considered that way, Prabhu. My thinking is that even the flooding today was all Krishna's doing.
Arrangement.
All Krishna's arrangement. Because when you get helpless and when you call out for help, how Krishna helps you?
You don't know.
You don't know.
Krishna sent me from everywhere.
I mean, just you are sitting here, Prabhu. And you saw the place, right?
Yes.
Now, if I told you that this place got flooded, you will say, Jagjivan, you must be joking.
No, believe me, I know, because I live in Mayapur. We have so many floods.
I know, Prabhu, but Mayapur is flat land.
We are next to the river also.
Next to the river. This is right on top of a hill.
Still.
How do you get flooded here? It's a long story. I won't go into that.
Of course.
The message is very clear, Prabhu. The message is very
have
clear.
Have faith in the Lord.
Have faith in the Lord and just save him. Don't never take any credit. And the other message which I would like to give as well is that you are not the doer.
Krishna is using us as a tool.
You are just a tool in his hand as well.
So we have to be sincere and honest in doing the service. And then everything will manifest.
Yeah, that's true. Bro.
Thank you so much, Jagat Mahaprabhu. Prabhu. It's been a great pleasure to be with you today in Wellington. And I'm sure I'll meet you again in Mayapur or next year when I'm coming again to Maharaj.
I will look forward to that as well, Prabhu.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Wellington. Gaur Nitai ki jai. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you too, Prabhu.
You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.